And as we mentioned, we are at the Blockchain Opportunity Summit in New York City. The banking sector is one that obviously is starting to use blockchain more and more these days. Alex Batlin is the global head of blockchain for BNY Mellon, and he joins us here at the table. Nice to meet you. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. How much is the banking sector, or BNY Mellon in your case, how much is blockchain becoming a part of the processes? It's still in a building process, I would think, to a degree.
It's still very much nascent, and I think most people are looking at experimentation rather than implementation phase. Okay. It's important to understand the value drivers that blockchain has and how that applies to regulated markets, because essentially Bitcoin was born in public, non-regulated markets, and what works there doesn't necessarily need to or can work in a regulated environment. So we need to take the best of the characteristics that Bitcoin promoted and then transplant it and adapt existing systems to take advantage of those.
So it is still a test phase for companies like BNY Mellon right now?
I think for majority of use cases, it is very much still experimentation. But there are some use cases that are starting to emerge, especially around cross-border scenarios, right, such as trade finance, such as cross-border payments, where we're starting to see an acceleration. I call it incubation followed by acceleration towards more production-like systems.
And actually, it's funny you mention that, because we talked about this earlier, about a story recently where a bank in the United States and a bank in Australia were basically able to put together a blockchain trade of cotton going between the United States and China, and how that process all played out and the payments on it played out, in the fact that they basically, the payments weren't made until the cotton actually arrived in China. So this is a whole new element that so many people are trying to wrap their heads around.
That's right. I think the key really isn't the technology as such. It is how you integrate it also into legal and regulatory frameworks, because there's a lot of ambiguity. Can you, for instance, accept a virtual escrow agent, which is what smart contracts allow you to do?
Yeah.
What constitutes settlement finality? If you settle on blockchain, will the regulators recognize it as settlement, as final settlement? So there's a lot of unanswered questions, and most of them are actually less about technology, and although technology is still has known hurdles like privacy, performance, and scalability, but much more importantly, it's about integrating also into existing frameworks.
You mentioned smart contracts, which is something that probably a lot of people listening to us don't know what that is. First, explain it a little bit, and obviously talk how this is a shift for a lot of sectors going forward.
I call it the proof control of proof a pattern, but let me explain a little bit more. So imagine you're buying or selling a house, and typically you might ask for a solicitor to perform the agency work, making sure that they take any deposits in case you get gazumped or gazumped. They will pay out those deposits to the party that's at loss if it happens. But also, if everything does go wrong, they guarantee that the title deeds are transferred, assuming the cash comes in and any stamp duty or other taxes are paid out to the state. So today, that's usually either a human being or a human being on behalf of a legal entity like a corporation that performs those duties. Because only human beings and legal entities can have accounts. Now imagine if we could create a new type of entity, which is code. But code could have its own account number.
Right.
So I can then effectively codify all the functions of an agency business, the fiduciary mechanical aspects of it.
Yeah.
And then when both parties, the buyer and the seller, transfer cash and title deeds to the account held by the code, it is guaranteed that the code is going to perform the delivery versus payment, or the atomic swap, or the transfer of title deeds versus cash, on behalf of those two agents. Therefore, you now have created a new type of agency business that's virtualized, but cryptographically proven. And that's the really exciting thing about smart contracts. They're just like normal code.
Right.
But what they do have the ability is to hold value under their own account and then perform agency business.
What I think is interesting is the fact that the concept of blockchain is one that obviously came in through Bitcoin, but it seems like so many different sectors have the ability to be able to use blockchain in some form or fashion for their industry. And that's, I think, something that is going to be revolutionary for a lot of different business sectors out there.
I would entirely agree. I think the interesting thing is by solving the problem of that Bitcoin did, which is to try and create a censorship-free new type of asset class, they also wanted to do that in a way that removed a lot of frictions, including creating new organizations. So they created Bitcoin as a virtual organization,
right,
by simply people running code, which is very easy to operate for an end user, and creating an organization, which is a connected set of computer nodes. So that's brilliant. We create a new type of organization, not based on humans collaborating, but on code collaborating with a bit of human help. And in doing so, they ditched people, process, and technology debt and showed that you can absolutely 100% automate the entire front-to-back process,
right,
which now gives you a completely different cost base for trust. And I think this is why it's so exciting. It's a business model transformation where we effectively got a completely different paradigm in terms of cost base.
Alex Batlin is the global head of blockchain for BNY Mellon. You're listening to Knowledge at Wharton here on SiriusXM 111 at the Blockchain Opportunity Summit in New York City. You used a word that every one of our guests has used here today, and that's trust.
Mm-hmm.
And seemingly, the word trust becomes an unbelievably important one to what blockchain can bring forward, correct?
Correct. It's a new form of trust through digital proofs.
What do you expect then the changes will be for a company like BNY Mellon going forward in the next 10 years or so? Because some of our guests have talked about how a lot of these changes will happen in the next 3 to 4 years. So what do you expect to see in the next decade?
I think it's a tremendous opportunity for, well, pretty much most people, because essentially what we're going to be looking at is new trust platforms that lower the cost of trust, reduce the risk, free up the capital that's reserved against that, and offer new revenue opportunities. And right now, in an environment where we're stressed as an industry by effectively regulation, quite rightly so, but nonetheless, it's affecting our cost base, we need to show more transparency. We need to kind of drive the inclusion agenda.
Okay.
And actually, blockchain kind of starts to address pretty much most of the G20 and other requirements.
So how do you then, how does that process go so that transparency is there between the banking sector and the government and the entities that really want to make sure that things are being done in a proper fashion?
It is by effectively digitizing everything we do. Because if we digitize, take a transaction today. When you send a transaction even through an e-commerce website,
right,
how do you know which code is going to be run in order to validate that transaction and which legal process or terms and conditions it's addressing?
Right.
None of it is linked today. With blockchain, you link transactions to code and code to legal terms and conditions, which now means that for every single transaction at any point in time, I can guarantee to you exactly which process was used. Together with new mathematical concepts called formal proofs, I can now even prove that my code for all possible domain ranges will do what the specification says it does. Therefore, and then all of the data is stored immutably because it's anchored across many different participants.
Right.
So tamper detection is extremely simple and cheap, which is not the case with existing systems.
Right.
So the level of proof and tamper detection that you have with this new systems is incredible compared to what we have today.
A lot of what I read in terms of big banks using blockchain right now, they're using it more within their own companies. And maybe they're just starting to test the waters a little bit about using it, bank to bank. Is that a fair assessment? And how quickly could that process build out?
I think you're absolutely right. There is the internal and external collaboration. I think a lot of value comes from the external collaboration, but before right. you go external, you need to figure it out for yourself, and that's why you're seeing those dynamics play out. But I think one of the things that I'm now starting to look at is, are there certain use cases which actually benefit from blockchain characteristics but could be operated by a more central platform?
Right.
And actually, if you read a number of my blogs, I argue that there are a set of use cases that could gain the benefits of blockchains without necessarily decentralization. Why would you want to do that? Because you reduce cost, because effectively distributed computation costs more than centralized computation.
Right.
So there are certain parameters which we need to still explore to really understand how blockchain can be adapted into existing regulated environments.
Right, right.
It doesn't mean that we give up on the distributed promise, because I think there are plenty of use cases like cross-border ones where it's essential.
Right.
It's just what we need to do is be intelligent and fit the solution to specific environment.
Alex, nice meeting you. Thank you very much for coming by.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Alex Batlin, Global Head of Blockchain for BNY Mellon. Hour number one of our show is in the books from New York City. Second hour from the Blockchain Opportunity Summit in New York City coming up in just a minute.